Our next guest that we have coming on the program here has broadcast for a couple of different sports here, but he is, of course, best known, as are others in his family, for broadcasting baseball, Major League Baseball, formerly MLB on Fox, doing those games there, as well as the Chicago Cubs, the Atlanta Braves, sharing the booth that his grandfather and then subsequently his father had been in, which has to be quite a thrill on a personal level here. And then now, with TBS, lead baseball play-by-play announcer here. It means we'll be hearing him in the playoffs in October here. It means the Sunday afternoon game of the week. Our next very distinguished guest who we have on the program here, I can only be speaking of Chip Carey. It's a pleasure to have him on. Chip, welcome to the FDH Lounge, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Thank you for the nice introduction.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on. It's great to have you. Of course, you are right there in the mix with MLB, just immersed in it from your position, and now with TBS in the last couple of years going towards a national perspective, not just doing the Atlanta Braves games, but this whole game of the week thing, the playoffs. So you're looking at the big picture here with everything that you're broadcasting on a week-to-week story. As we sit here tonight at the end of the All-Star break, what are some of the big stories that you've seen firsthand this year in Major League Baseball?
Well, I think the big thing, number one, is parity. I think Bud Selig has said that one of his great goals when he became commissioner was to see that the start of spring training, all 30 teams realistically and their fans felt that they had a shot to be in the playoffs, or at least have a shot at the playoffs. And I think if you look at the standings this year, and I don't have them in front of me, but I would venture a guess that 20 to 21 teams out of 30 are within 7 or 8 games of first place. As we get set to resume play tomorrow. I can't think of a better way to start the second half than the possibility of some great races in great cities. And obviously what's good for the standings is good for the fans. And parity, I think, has in many ways changed the landscape of our game. You don't really have one or two great teams anymore, which makes it more difficult for the fans to figure out, okay, is our team for real? And for the general managers to figure out, is our team for real? Which dovetails into what we're going to talk about at the end of this month. That's the trade deadline. I think you're going to see a lot of clubs really riding it out to the final minute, trying to figure out who to dump, who to acquire, whether they're in, whether they're out. And that makes for certainly a great hot stove talk all around Major League Baseball. But I think the big story this year has been parity more so than anything else. And whether that's good or bad for the game, I think remains to be seen. But you've got a lot of great races that are still very, very much from being decided.
That does seem to be an overarching theme. I agree with you about that. I'd like to get your perspective on one team in particular, Chip, and with your family's longstanding ties to the Atlanta Braves and the fact that that's obviously been a team that you've observed very closely going way back in time. I have to tell you, my take over the last year has been that this Tampa Bay team reminds me of where the Braves were at the beginning of that run. With people wondering last year, are they a fluke, are they whatever, I said, no, they remind me of the Braves, say, around 91, 92, 93. Do they kind of give you that same vibe? Not necessarily in terms of the pitching staff.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, they went through a lot of bad years in Tampa Bay before they turned things around. But obviously, when they get all those number one picks, they turn them into gold. And you know, it's really funny when you talk about Tampa Bay, talk about who isn't there. Just think if they had an outfield of Baldelli, Hamilton, and Carl Crawford. That was their original game plan, but obviously the injuries and the personal problems of Josh Hamilton and Baldelli got in the way of those particular plans. But yeah, Tampa Bay is a good ball club. They've drafted well. They've finished up the track for a long time. But the whole point of Major League Baseball and the farm system, the general managers will tell you, once you get good, you want to stay good, and I think Tampa Bay, with their very young players, have a chance to do that.
Well, Chip, when you talk about farm systems and the way that teams build, I'll tell you what, the L.A. Dodgers 2-3 years ago had a Jacksonville team at AA that was a roster for the ages, and you see what they've done this year. Clearly, that seems to have a lot to do with their ascent to becoming the dominant team in the National League to this point.
Yeah, Dave Wallace was the interim general manager. Then Dan Evans took over, I believe, at the end of the 2001 season. And you talk about Kemp, and you talk about Loney, and you talk about Billingsley and Broxton. You talk about Russell Martin, the acquisition of Andre Ethier by the Dodger front office. So, yeah, I mean, the Dodgers have gone about it as they've always done. They've always been known as having a great farm system. And you remember the Russell, the Garvey, the Say, and the Lopes infield, the one that played together for 10 years out in Los Angeles. Well, that was an infield that they drafted, developed, and brought to the big leagues for a long period of time. And I think the Dodgers, I just saw them this past Sunday, are as good as it gets in our league. They have the entire package with one exception. They've got to find a number one top of the rotation starting pitcher who can gobble up some innings for them. They are very concerned in L.A. about the Giants' pitching staff. San Francisco's loaded. They can really pitch. They take the ball deep. And, you know, the oldest adage in our game, good pitching gets out good hitting. I think that's a decided advantage right now for that San Francisco club. So keep an eye on Roy Halladay. If Ned Colletti can work some of his magic in Los Angeles, it wouldn't surprise me if he makes a strong push to get Roy Halladay.
Chip, speaking of pitching, just looking at the league as it stands today with the type of pitching that's out there and compare it to maybe the last 10, 15 years, do you think it's gotten a little worse? And do you think that's because possibly the teams are a little too concerned with pitch counts and instead they're trying to load up their bullpens so their starter only has to go 6 or 7 innings maximum?
Well, I think you got a couple things to play here. Number one, you're right about pitch counts. You're right about protecting pitchers' arms. I think that's obviously something baseball's trying to do and will continue to do. But the last time I checked, the way to get bigger biceps is not to not work out your biceps. So it seems to me that pitchers should be throwing more, not less, in the minor leagues just to build up arm strength and endurance. Secondly, because you don't see many ball clubs let pitchers work themselves out of trouble in the minor leagues because of those aforementioned pitch counts, when they get to the major leagues, as soon as they have some trouble in the fifth or sixth inning and their pitch count's up around 80, 90, or 100, they're looking in the dugout and looking for a way out of the ball game. So that requires you, as you said, you got to have 6, 7, 8, sometimes 9 relief pitchers working for you, which puts a strain on the available talent pool. There's no question about it. So is pitching better or worse? I don't think it's my position to say it's worse because I've never pitched in the major leagues. But I just think the over-reliance on pitch counts, the over-protection of pitchers in the minor leagues, and the requisite number of bullpen guys has just diluted the talent pool so much that it's almost impossible to keep a staff healthy and together for a full major league season, and that watered-down effect certainly plays into the hitter's hands.
Now, that is the case, certainly, Chip, but when you look at a couple of years ago, a Frank Robinson, a Dusty Baker, especially when he was in Chicago, and those guys, you know, kind of like pitch counts, what pitch counts, that type of attitude, isn't it one of these things where the genie's out of the bottle and we can sit here and bemoan the way that it is now, and I would join anybody in bemoaning that, but isn't it sort of one of those it-is-what-it-is type things? These are the way the arms are conditioned coming through the system, and it's too harsh of a shock, is it not, if you have a manager who just will run you out there like the Bataan Death March?
Well, I mean, you know, who says you can't start this in the minor leagues? Look, baseball is a game of followers and leaders. Whoever does this and says, we're going to have a four-man rotation. I mean, Texas is trying it to a certain degree. Nolan Ryan said to Mike Maddox and said to his pitchers, you pitch, we'll tell you when to stop pitching. Don't be looking in the dugout after 100 pitches. If we still think you can go out and get guys out, we're going to send you back out there. And I think, by and large, that has worked. Yes, you have to condition guys. I think, yes, you have to change mindsets. But as soon as somebody does it and as soon as it works, you're going to see a lot of other major league organizations following suit because, as I said, it's a game that's full of copycat guys. But as far as it being out of the bag, yeah, it's out of the bag, but that doesn't make it right, in my opinion. And as many stories as you hear of guys who have hurt themselves and are ruining their arms, I can give you examples of Roy Halladay and Roger Clemens and Bob Gibson and on we go of guys who threw not only in four-man rotations but threw the ball 130, 140 times without ill effect. So I just think it's a convenient argument to point to pitch counts as being the sole issue and sole problem for the plethora of arm injuries that are going on. It doesn't factor in use and abuse in high school or college or what have you. So I'd like to see a change. I'm not the commissioner. I don't own a team, and I don't run a team, but I certainly notice it from afar, and our conversations with broadcasters all around the league certainly echo those sentiments. There's too much babying of pitchers going on, and a lot of that has to do with the media and the second guessing that we're doing right now.